Time's now 3:29, and we are joined in the studio by 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com sports guru, Michael Coe. Michael, how's it going today?
It's going well, Andy. Glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back on. And again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we're in this weird low-pressure watching of the NCAA tournament because the Tar Heels aren't participating. How's that feeling for you after one day?
Yeah, I think for Carolina fans, just sort of testing the pulse out there, the only stress coming in this tournament is just making sure Duke doesn't win the national championship. But that didn't really go to plan last night. Duke all over Oral Roberts, who was one of the best mid-majors all year this year. So Duke looking pretty good early.
Yeah, Duke's been playing very well, which I don't like to say, obviously, but they have been. Fortunately, in the wacky world of one-and-done NCAA tournament, that doesn't matter. It just takes a bad half, and you can be bounced.
Yeah, they've got a tough game against Tennessee. Tennessee's the four seed. The Vols have had a bit of a wobbly season so far, but they're certainly capable of taking down Duke. They'll have to play really well.
Yeah, if you have a wobbly season and get a four seed, I think you're probably doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing all right, and they're in a pretty good conference, the SEC, so they've beaten some very good teams this year.
Any takeaways from day one? I know that kind of superficially, other than Duke, the ACC didn't exactly look great.
No, the only other ACC team to play on day one was, of course, Virginia, and we know how that game against Furman turned out, just absolutely bonkers into that game, and Princeton beating Arizona was just an incredible upset. Only the 10th 15 over 2, or maybe the 11th 15 over 2 upset in the history of the NCAA tournament.
And I believe a previous one of those was also Arizona,
yeah.
Isn't it?
How delightful. Arizona's the only team to lose to a 15 seed twice.
Right.
So kind of an ignominious stat for the Wildcats, but feel really good for the Tigers. They played really well in that game and deserve to win.
And I'm going to take 2 seconds here to add a couple points to your ledger for use of ignominious there.
There you go.
Very nicely done.
Yeah.
Anything else from today in the tournament that you want to flag before we move on to women's basketball?
Yeah, so we had a near upset in the early part of the day. Kennesaw State had a 13-point second-half lead over Xavier, but Xavier comes back in that game. They used a 15-2 run to tie the game, and then they're able to grind it out in the end. 72-67, that was just down the road in Greensboro.
Yeah, that's disheartening for me, just as a casual fan wanting to see an upset. I can't imagine what it would be like if you were a tried and true Kennesaw State fan invested in that.
Yeah, and their first ever tournament appearance too. Just a tough way to end things. My Vermont Catamounts is currently taking on the 2-seed Marquette Golden Eagles. That one's 36-28 Marquette late in the first half. So Vermont hanging around, you know, they're in position to be in position, so they are known to spring an upset or two come March Madness time, so I'll always pull for them.
It's true. The Catamounts are fun. I like those uniforms, too.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful.
Let's talk women's basketball now, because we do have a horse in this race, and we now know who the Tar Heels will be playing tomorrow. What do you know about St. John's?
Well, I think they might be a little underseeded, and you look at their record, they only have 8 losses on the year. They have the Big East Coach of the Year. They won at UConn this season, which is no small feat in women's college basketball, and they beat Purdue on a pretty much buzzer beater in the first 4 of the basket with 2 seconds left. And that was two tenths of a second left. And St. John's was really controlling most of that game. They led by 8 going into the fourth quarter. And then Purdue had a nice run, ended up tying the game, but then St. John's ends up taking the win. So they're going to be a tough out for Carolina, to say nothing of number 3 seed Ohio State, the host of that group, awaiting likely in the second round. This is a team that had a very, very long winning streak to start the year, had a sort of a tough end of the season, but they're no slouch as a number 3 seed.
I feel like that Ohio State team is the type of team that UNC's been playing all year and being pretty competitive with. I don't want to get ahead of the first game or anything, but I'd feel pretty comfortable with an Ohio State matchup. I'm not predicting a win necessarily, but I don't think it would be any kind of a blowout at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's the advantage of playing in a conference like the ACC, which was one of the best, if not the best, conference in women's college basketball this season. Carolina's gone into tough road environments. Not to say they have won in those tough road environments. They have won at Duke. They went to overtime at Reynolds Coliseum in NC State. They've also won at neutral sites. They won in Portland against Oregon and Iowa State. Iowa State, of course, is also in the tournament as a 5 seed. So they are battle-tested in situations like these, and so I'm really looking looking forward to watching them tomorrow.
You've watched them all year. What do you want to see if you think they're going to win? What has to happen?
Deja Kelly's got to break out of her shooting slump. She is the number one option for the Tar Heels on offense, and she shot 4 of 22 in that game in the ACC tournament. Carolina's last game, which will be over 2 weeks, will have passed between that game and their game against St. John. So hopefully they don't come out cold. But
that's a thing too, yeah. Isn't it? Got to kind of keep that on the radar. Also a thing that is dealt with in women's basketball, but not so much in men's basketball, the way they build their schedule. They wrap up that women's season awfully early.
Yeah. You know, they got to make room, and I guess it makes sense with the women's and the men's tournaments both being played in Greensboro. But it is a bit unfair, especially since St. John's will have had a game under its belt, having played on Thursday, and so they probably won't be as cold as Carolina, at least in the early part of the game in Columbus.
Well, we'll hope for the best, and we'll look for your coverage on chapelboro.com after the result. And speaking of your coverage on chapelboro.com, you've got a transfer portal tracker up there that I've seen you typing away at more than I want to see you typing away at. Today, it's Dontrez Styles who's looking for a new team. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation all around. Dontrez is an in-state Katie from Kinston, which is a hotbed of basketball talent, not just basketball talent, but UNC basketball talent, thinking about guys like Reggie Bullock and Jerry Stackhouse. This was his dream school that he said that he was just so excited that he committed basically right away after getting the offer. But things just haven't worked out for one reason or the other in his first two seasons. He played pretty sparingly as a freshman, and then he played even less as a sophomore. Think about how long a season is of 30-plus games like the Tar Heels played. Dontrez Styles played just 89 minutes this season. Think about all the games. Think about the 4 overtime game against Alabama. That's basically 3 halves of basketball. And not a great look for the program. Of course, Dontrez just looking to get some playing time somewhere else.
This playing time debate is starting to get some momentum, it seems, in the early offseason here, where I've heard a lot of people talking about the lack of play of the bench for the Carolina team. That, of course, has been a story for 2 years now. But I think with the transfer portal situation, it's hard to not feel like that's part of what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I it's hard to know how this would have played out if this were 3-4 years ago, back when the transfer portal only meant that you had to sit out a year before playing at your new school. That definitely kept some people at their schools that probably would have left had the transfer portal been in its current form. So we're just seeing it at every school. It's not just Carolina. Carolina is certainly the most notable program to be losing players, mostly because the other notable programs are currently still playing.
Yeah, there's that.
So we'll have to see how it affects everybody in maybe a month or so once all the teams are done playing. But yeah, Carolina, I think this is one of the reasons why they wanted to sort of get the season over with, not even play in the NIT, just completely focus on a roster reset, because it looks like that's what they're going to have to do.
Transfer portal taketh and it giveth also, so yes. We'll have to wait. Half those tournament teams are going to be done by Monday, so we might start seeing some movement next week.
Yeah, it'll be a great exodus, and I'm really curious to see at some of these mid-majors that maybe show out in the tournament, like Princeton, like Kennesaw State, like Furman, if some of the big schools with, say, deeper pockets look to start poaching. So that has happened in the past, and it'll probably happen this year as well.
I just want somebody who can play reasonable perimeter defense and hit 38% from three-point range.
That would be nice. Imagine how many games Carolina would have won if they had had that.
I mean, there wasn't much margin for error, and that would have made a big difference.
Yeah.
All right, Michael Coe, anything else you're looking at for later tonight or tomorrow in the tournament? You know I've got my eyes on that Indiana game coming up at well past my bedtime.
Yes. Well, a couple games that I'm really interested in. NC State obviously plays in just a few minutes out in Denver against Creighton. I picked the Wolfpack in that game. I think that's an upset waiting to happen.
I think I did too, actually.
Yeah. Two games in the evening session that I'm really interested in. Number 5 seed Miami, repping the ACC against number 12 seed Drake out of the Missouri Valley Conference. The Missouri Valley is one of the best mid-major conferences, maybe the best mid-major conference, and Drake is a darn good team. They absolutely blew out number 1 seed Bradley in the Missouri Valley Championship, and Miami's a little injured. Norchad Omier injured his ankle in the ACC tournament. He is on track to play, but who knows how healthy he'll be. And the other one I'm looking at, number 8 seed Memphis against number 9 seed Florida Atlantic. Those are two teams that I think could make the Sweet 16. Obviously, Purdue is the number 1 seed right on top of them. But I think Florida Atlantic and Memphis, both very dangerous. Memphis won the American Conference, and FAU's been the darling of analytics all year. They've been ranked in the top 20 in the net, seemingly since December.
Michael, good stuff as always. I'm also looking, changing gears entirely, looking at the UNC baseball score as they got an early start today. They're up 3-1 over Pitt, ranked 18th in the nation. I feel like they're doing very well. How do you feel about that ranking right now? Do you expect that to go up as the season progresses?
I would say it's fair so far. The team certainly has flaws that have been evident in the early part of the season, just looking at some of the bullpen woes that cost them two games against East Carolina, cost them that opener against Seton Hall. But you would rather have those issues in February and March than in May and June, so hopefully they get all those worked out. The offense is cooking as usual, like we thought they would. They are on pace to set a record for home runs in the season. Mac Horvath has been absolutely on fire. Vance Honeycutt has been doing Vance Honeycutt things. So we don't need to worry about the bats. They're always going to come to play. It's the pitching that usually takes a little more time.
I'm pretty sure Mac Horvath hit a dinger while you were talking. It's
Did
now
he?
5-1.
Well, there
and,
you go.
And that's a two-run homer for Mac Horvath. So he's... He is underlining your point emphatically there. All right, Michael, thanks again for coming in, and I'll let you get back to maybe getting into a situation where you can be watching multiple basketball games at one time.
There you go. Thanks, Andy.